Well, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You might like to look it up if you've got the Bible in front of you. Most of the words will appear on the screen as well, just to help you through. Now, before we look at it together, imagine yourself waiting for a telephone call that could change your life. Picture yourself sitting there, staring at the phone, feeling the excitement, the fear, the anticipation. Well, whether or not you love or loathe those Saturday night talent shows, they do change people's lives. And they bring about a moment where someone's life can completely change direction in an instant, or at least for a year or two until they get put on the scrap heap with all the other ex-talent show winners. You can imagine them, can't you? Going to an audition and getting home and waiting by the phone, knowing that if the phone rings, they get the call that their life is about to change. Now, is that what the call of God is like? When we talk about being called by God, is that what it's like? Is it that we're supposed to sit around waiting for the call of God to arrive? And when the call comes, you know, or if it comes, suddenly everything's going to be different. Is that what God's call is like? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that the call of God is not like that. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 17 through to the end. Nevertheless, each of you should live as a believer in whichever situation the Lord has assigned to you, just as God has called you. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each of you should remain in the situation you were in when God called you. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For those who were slaves when called to faith in the Lord are the Lord's freed people. Similarly, those who were free when called are Christ's slaves. You were bought at a price. Don't become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, all of you as responsible to God should remain in the situation in which God called you. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin married, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that time is short. From now on, those who are married should live as if they were not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world, as if not engrossed in them. For the world in its present form is passing away. So, what is the call of God like? Well, it's not like the X Factor picture I just painted to you for two reasons. Just firstly, it's not a call just for the chosen few. You see, the popular idea we get of calling, being called by God, is that it just happens to a special group of people. Those who are called. But the truth is, to be a Christian is to be called. You know, we use the language of calling, don't we, to say, you know, I got called to ministry. I got called to be a missionary. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. And it seems to me normally when the New Testament talks about calling, it's not usually about something special for a set group of people. It's for everyone. To be a Christian is to be called by God. You are called. Look at verse 18. It says, was a man already circumcised when he was called? It talks about the calling to faith. It's a calling that happened to the Corinthians is when they came to know Jesus for themselves. So it's not just for ministers and professionals. It's not something that may or may not happen if you're lucky some point in your Christian life. To be a Christian is to be called. And there's another thing that's different to that X Factor picture, and it's this. It's that the call is not for everything to change, but actually the call is to stay where you are. And that's really what we're going to be thinking about for the rest of this morning. If you're called by God, what does that call really involve? Is he about to call you to change everything? Well, this is where we're going to go. It's the call of God, says Paul, is not to new status, but to salvation. It's not to new religion, but to obedience. And it's not to new circumstances, but to new attitude. That's where we're going to go over the next little while together in God's word. Let's just pray again, shall we, as we ask him to speak to us today. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you that it's living and active. Thank you that it's for us, that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, feed us, equip us, build us up today, that we can live for you more effectively, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so firstly, the call of God is not to new status, but to salvation. Now, when you think of your daily life and existence, do you ever think sometimes, I must have been made for loftier things? You know, there are some things you can end up doing in daily life thinking, surely I'm worth more than this. I must admit, you know, as a father of two little girls, I do sometimes think that when I'm changing a nappy. I think, you know, I was made for better things. But no, most of the time, obviously, it's a great privilege. Our little girls, fabulous. Sometimes I wonder if it's really the best use of my time if I spent a whole day folding bits of paper and putting them in envelopes in that office over there for Youth for Christ. I think I've been doing youth work for 20 years. I didn't sign up for this, but it's all part of the job. Now, can you relate to that experience when you're doing something you think, surely I was made for more? Perhaps you're a teacher dealing with unruly students. Perhaps you're unemployed and struggling to find work. Perhaps you're a stay-at-home parent feeling like an unpaid childminder. And occasionally you think, I'm worth so much more. Well, that is how the believers in Corinth might have been feeling. As Paul says to them in verse 21, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. A slave who'd come to faith in Christ might be thinking, well, is it right for me? Now I'm a child of God. Now I know who I am. Should I really be scrubbing toilets? Should I be taking orders from this person who claims to be my boss? Am I really a possession belonging to this person that's telling me what to do? You see, a slave who'd become a Christian, who'd been set free by the gospel, who knew who they were because of God's grace in Jesus, might think, surely God has something better planned for me. But Paul says, surprisingly, if you're a slave, don't let that bother you. Because the call of God isn't about status, but about salvation. He says to these new believers, you're not defined by your status in the eyes of the world. You might think it's a weird thing for a child of God to be doing what you're doing right now, but that doesn't define you. You see, God's call is not really about to some kind of higher career, about moving on in your life. He says to them, you know, maybe you look at your brothers and sisters in the church and think, well, you know, I should be more like them. They've got the freedom that I deserve. But Paul says we're all in the same boat. Look at it. He says, those of you who are slaves are the Lord's freed people, and those who were free are now Christ's slaves. So we're all slaves and we're all free, regardless of our earthly status. So even if it seems weird to be working as a slave, now that you know Jesus, don't let that bother you. Don't let yourself get caught up in thinking about how you get out of what you're doing at the moment, how you can move on in a profession. Because the call of God isn't about status, but about salvation. So how does that relate to now and to you and me and what we're doing in our lives? Well, it'd be quite weird, wouldn't it, to be Kate Middleton, you know, just an ordinary girl, and then suddenly become a Royal Highness, and of course our very own Duchess here in Cambridge. Well, I don't know her at all, but I don't imagine she lies awake at night thinking, you know, what am I going to do with my life? You know, how am I going to move on and achieve success? Because, you know, her new role as wife of heir to the throne, princess, pretty much takes care of that, doesn't it, really? You know, of course she's got to have ambition and hopes and dreams like any other human being, but if she realises who she is, then she doesn't really need to worry about moving on in her career. And the same can be true of us. Today, let the Holy Spirit remind you of who you are in Jesus. The Bible calls you a priest of the King, a son of the living God, a co-heir with Christ. You know, that's your status. So even if you never move on from where you are today and the status that you have, you can never be insignificant because of who you are in Jesus. You know, sometimes we can think to be called by God must be something glamorous or respected in other people's eyes. But it's not like that. What matters is that you are chosen of God, that you are a child of God. And his call to you is to belong to him, not to improve your earthly status, but to salvation. Okay, secondly, the call of God is to not to new religious labels, but to obedience. I wonder if you've ever felt pressure to be really deeply spiritual. You ever feel there's some people, you know, perhaps they're even in your church, perhaps there's those elders that have that faraway look in their eye, and when they pray, they're so, you know, on another level, you think, wow, maybe I could be like them one day. Maybe you don't. But it's possible, isn't it, to look at other Christians and think, perhaps people on a stage somewhere, or they've written a book, you know, to think, that is the destination, I need to be like that. And then God would really listen to my prayers, then I would be really kind of on a different level. Now that's how some of the believers in Corinth might have been feeling. It says in verse 18, was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He shouldn't be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. You see, that must have been a big issue, this circumcision thing. So a Gentile who came to faith in Jesus in the first century might have felt a bit like second-class citizen in the church. You know, they look at the Jewish believers and think, wow, they're the people with that certain air about them. They've got their history. You know, we can't really compete with that. We're just the new kids on the block. I wish I was like them. Maybe I should get circumcised. Then I'd be like a proper, complete New Testament, Old Testament believer. Be a bit like being a Cambridge United player when Dion Dublin comes to town. You know, it's like he'd be swanning around the squad saying, you boys, you might be wearing the shirts, but you know, we were there when we were vying for promotion to the top flight. And you can't buy that kind of history. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to feel like a second-class citizen. In Corinth, there were probably some people who set out to promote that idea. There were people around in the first century church actively teaching that unless you got circumcised, you weren't really full-on a proper believer. And yet Paul says, for some, it's the other way around. If they're already circumcised, they might think, well, maybe I should renounce my Jewishness. You know, because for some it would seem better to them to renounce their Jewishness so that it could be more clearly identified as just believing in Jesus without the historical baggage. But anyway, Paul says all of that is nothing. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. That's a pretty bold statement when he's talking about, you know, 1,000 years or more of history, what's clearly identified the people of God. He says that doesn't matter one jot. Obeying God is what counts. That's what he's saying. The call of God is not to a new religious label, but to obedience. And what does that mean for us? Well, I was delighted when I heard the news that Andy Hawthorne, who leads a Christian organization called the Message Trust in Manchester, was given an OBE in the recent announcements from the palace. Now, Andy's a legend. He's been a friend of mine since I was about 16. I got to play in a little local Christian band when I was a teenager. And he would come and speak at all the concerts we played at youth groups in the area. And he's such an inspiring guy when he explains the gospel to young people. And in the 20-odd years I've known him, he has built something quite amazing in Manchester. They do so much work. It's just a phenomenal organisation. God has done brilliant things through him. And it's been tempting through my life to think, you know, well, maybe one day, you know, I'll get a job with the Message. Because they are the people that kind of swan around the school looking really cool, you know, and God seems to be doing great things through them. And if I join the organization, maybe then I would have that connection, you know, and I would become one of those people that others look up to and go, wow, you work for the Message. Nice. You must be really close to God. It's tempting, isn't it, sometimes? But God's call to me isn't to join a particular organization. You know, whether or not I work for the message or anyone else, it doesn't matter. What matters is obedience. What matters is me living for Jesus every day. It's obvious, isn't it? But it's important. So how about you? Do you ever find yourself, you know, craving acceptance from a certain group? Do you imagine that closeness to God requires belonging to a certain club? Do you think sometimes, you know, having a certain job title, even in church, makes you feel like, yeah, then I'd be really spiritual? Perhaps, you know, to get invited to speak in church or, you know, lead the kids or play the guitar or whatever. That's what you really need to kind of move on. Well, today, let the Holy Spirit remind you of what God wants. It's not about labels. It's not about going to the right church or having the right job title. It's about doing what he says. And what does that mean? Well, in a nutshell, your church notice board puts it pretty succinctly, doesn't it? Loving God, loving people. That is what God is after. That's God's call. That's what the Christian life is about. So watch out for that pressure to get the religious badge. Don't get caught up with thinking, well, God wants me to be this or to become that, have that title. Apart from his call to obey, to be like Jesus. Okay, so the call of God is not about new status, but about salvation. It's not about new religious labels, but about obedience. And thirdly, finally, it's not about new circumstances, but about a new attitude. I wonder if you've ever felt that there was something holding you back. You know, that you could be the Christian that God wanted you to be if it wasn't for X, Y, Z. You know, if only I was better off financially, that would help me to think less about money and more about God. If only I was happier, you know, more settled in my life, then I'd be more like going straight for God to serve him. If only I was married, single, delete as applicable, then I could really do what God wants. Well, sometimes we can wait for things to change so that then we start serving God fully. And that's how the believers in Corinth might have been feeling. Look at verse 26. Because of the present crisis, Paul says, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Don't seek to be released. Are you free from such commitment? Don't look for a wife. Now, what's all that about? Well, someone who come to faith might think, I really want to serve God, but I'm being held back. You know, maybe I got married before as a Christian, and now that I'm a Christian, I think, well, that doesn't make sense to me anymore. I need to be free so that I can serve, because my life is about Jesus now. If only I could get out of these circumstances, then I could serve God. But Paul says, don't look to change your circumstances. Instead, change your attitude. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they didn't. Those who are happy as if they weren't. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Now, this sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? A little bit confusing. You know, on the face of it, some of this is the worst advice you could possibly be given. You know, what would it look like to have a wife and live as if you didn't? That sounds like a recipe for disaster, doesn't it? And what about being in mourning and living as if you weren't? You know, imagine trying to get over a bereavement by pretending it wasn't there. It sounds like, not to sound like the best psychology to me. So I think the key phrase in understanding that is in verse 31, as if not engrossed in them. Paul says that the people of the world have their lives defined by their circumstances. You know, your marriage or your lack of it, your possessions or lack of them, your happiness or lack of it. These are the things that define people's lives. Not so for the people of God. Time is short, he says. The world is passing away, and along with it, everything that's in it, and everything the world thinks is precious. So Paul says, do not waste your time being preoccupied with how you can change your circumstances. Instead, live within your circumstances the best way you can for the kingdom. You know, Paul spent many of his crucial years in prison. You know, if anyone would think, man, my circumstances are limiting my fruitfulness, it would be him, wouldn't it? But actually, What did he do? He didn't become obsessed with getting out of jail. He changed his attitude to the circumstances. He wrote letters. He witnessed to prison officers. He had visitors come and tell him and take things. And he shared with them the gospel and encouraged them in their faith. God's call isn't to new circumstances, but to a new attitude. Well, what about you and me? Well, I want to show you a little video clip which will shed some light on this. Well, I hope you picked that up. That lady was trying to choose her coffin. What a surreal conversation to be having. You know, we're tempted to look at them and think, what is the point of this conversation? You know, what does it matter whether a coffin is comfortable or not? You're not going to feel much when you get there. And to some extent, at least, the circumstances of our lives are no more significant than the design of our coffin, because they will all pass away along with us and along with the world. You know, spending our time trying to get our circumstances fixed in life is a bit like wasting hours in that funeral showroom deliberating over what type of wood and what kind of lining we're going to have. Because this world is passing away. So whether you're rich or poor or married or single or young or old or wherever you find yourself, are you waiting for something to change so that you can serve God completely? Do you think that in order for you to be really effective for God, you've got to change something first, or he's got to do it for you? Perhaps you find that all your life is taken up with other responsibilities and you can't do as much for church as you'd like to do. Perhaps money is tight and you feel like you're being squeezed in every area of your life and you're just thinking, well, something's got to change. Now, Paul does say that change isn't wrong. He says you can get married, you can change your job, but those things are not the destination. So today, let the Holy Spirit remind you of what really matters. It's not about your circumstances. It's not about your possessions. It's not about your happiness, or not even about your family, precious though they are. It's about investing what you have in eternity, using everything that you have for his purposes, his kingdom. However tied up you feel, you can live now for him. He can help you hold light to the things of the world and to find a way to bear fruit, to be fruitful, be productive for him where you are. It's about today humbling yourself and saying, God, what can I do for you with what I have, where I am? And he can make that significant. So let me encourage you today. You are called by God. You've been called by him into his purposes, into his kingdom. What is that call about? Well, it's a call not to new status, but to salvation. It's a call not to new labels, but to obedience. Not to new circumstances, but to a new attitude. You don't need anything externally to change in order to serve him with everything you have. And God knows your needs. He knows what you're capable of. And he's able to use what you have to offer to him in his kingdom. In trying to sum this up, I'll use some words from Paul. He says in verse 35, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. That sums it up, what God's call for your life is. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, to live in undivided devotion to him. Get your heart right. And look to serve you. Look for the opportunities he gives you in your daily life. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, we know that our lives are about you, and we know that this world is passing away. Help us, God, to serve you with all our hearts. Father, help me to see myself as you do, chosen by you, seated with you in glory. Lord, I want to be content to stay as I am if that's where I can be most effective for you. Help me to obey you in everything I do. Keep me from the distractions of religion and trying to impress other people. Help me, Father, to invest my life in the things that change heaven. Help me to hold lightly to the things of this world, my circumstances, so that I can be fruitful for you. Lord, work in me that undivided devotion to you, that so wherever I am, I'm for you. I'm bearing fruit for your glory. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen.